on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. So let us pray.
Can we give him a hand clap of praise and worship? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise His name. Hallelujah! Don't let the cat get your tongue now. Go ahead and use it for the Lord. That's right. Well, I said amen in my heart. Well, let it get out of your heart and out of your mouth and give God the praise this morning. Hallelujah. I ain't got enough voice to praise the Lord with. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll stand for the reading of the Word. Revelation chapter 19. It's good to have each one here today. It's good to have the Lord Jesus here today. I believe that with all my heart. He said where two or three would gather together, that He would be here in the midst of us. Hallelujah. I pray you brought Him in your heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. If you didn't, you can get it today. Amen. I believe it that way. Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the noise of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Let's go to verse 10. You there, can you say amen?
Amen?
Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, for therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. That is, knowing the time, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions of the flesh for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I've been talking about the headstone, divine love. I'd like to speak this afternoon. The bride will work till Jesus comes. The bride will work till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Respect to God's presence. Do you have a need? You'd like to lift your hand and say, Father, you know what's behind my heart. And I know that the Word will provide that for me today. God bless each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's so grateful of a privilege to come to your house, Lord, and to be able to call you Father. The world knows you as just some God off in the distance, but Father, I thank you that I can call you my dad. You're the one that begot me, Lord. You're the one that saved me. You're the one that takes care of me. You're the one who provides for me, Father. And I'm so grateful to be a Christian today, that Christ would come and shed his blood for me. And I thank you, Lord, as every Christian has that same gratitude in their heart for what you've done for us, Lord. But you promised to be here today for us. You promise to bring us the next step that we need to go in life. And I pray, Lord, that you'll discern every heart that's here. Lord, if there's evil in us, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would discern it from us, Lord, and you would cast away that work of darkness. Lord, if there's somebody that's come, has sickness in body, I pray that the Holy Spirit would send its healing power and bring that soul back to perfect health. We pray, Lord, that our unbelief, that you'd forgive us, Lord, and that we wouldn't pack it into the house of God. God forbid we do such a thing. But may we just lay aside of all of our doubt, our confusion, all our frustration, and may we come to you as a person. May we come to our Savior, knowing that we know this man who we're speaking to, and that we know he'll speak back. Speak through the preaching of the Word, but hear through the heart of every person that's here today. Destroy the works of the enemy as you promised. In the name of Jesus Christ, we agree together. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The bride will work till Jesus comes. Brother Brandon was asked this question in questions and answers. I've got quite a few quotes, quite a few scriptures too. We'll see if I go long-winded. My dad tells me that I say I'm going short-winded, I go just normal-winded, and then I just go long-winded without saying nothing about it. So it's just the way it goes sometimes. But you know what? Really, if the people love the Word, I'll just keep feeding you the Word. If you want to go to a buffet, the sign says all you can eat. All you can eat. That means you should be eating until you can't eat no more. And I think we ought to come to the house of God as if a buffet and not just a little one-course meal and just scratching the plate and say, well, I'm still mighty hungry. I'm here to tell you under the delusion of the devil, because in this age, the Word's been restored and there's a full-course meal of the Word laying before you all the time. That's right. Now look, you don't just feed a person and just let them lay there. That's a pig ready for the slaughter. If you're somebody that's going to be fed for a purpose, you need to get out and be doing things to work off that food so you get hungry enough. I wonder if that's why we don't come to the house of God very hungry. Because we ain't using it on nothing. We're just becoming spiritual gluttons. God help us to not be that way. But when we feed on the Word, let me give the Word. When I feed on the Word, let me give the Word. Hallelujah. Let me live my life for you. That's right. And we know that this is a promise of the Bible. I hope I don't preach over the top of you, because I think this is part of the ministry of the hour, and I'll show you why here in a second. Brother Brandon was asked this question in the seals, question and answers on the seals. This is 63. He said, would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Will the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? We know that Malachi 4 came to restore the faith of the fathers back to the children. It came to show us that the bride of Christ has actually always been here. Since Jesus died, the bride, actually from all eternity, the bride's been here the whole time, but now the seals are open, she's awakened to who she is. Amen. But a lot of people would say, well, yeah, there's a ministry for the bride. Well, what is it?
Come on.
What are we supposed to be doing? Uh-huh. We just get saved and then, well, I guess that's all there was to it. Just go back and just lay on my couch, and maybe some of us at least will have a message book on the wall or Bible laying around somewhere and say, well, I'm doing the ministry of the bride. I think it's a little bit more than that. And I also don't think we need to go on the other side where, you know, we got to just build orphanages and hospitals and all these works, and we're trying to build up our salvation. That ain't what I'm talking about now. Don't you run off on that tangent. But I hate to break it to most message people, ain't worried about that. You can't hardly get them to come to church. You can't hardly get them to visit one another. You can't hardly get them to love one another, much less go up above and beyond on works. We're just trying to get some works to show that we love the Lord. Because when you do things for each other, do we understand that that's how you show love for God?
Yes.
Now, we ought to raise our hands. We ought to praise His name. But any old hypocrite can do that.
Right.
It's when your life is literally lived for the other man. That's when a man can look at you and say, whoa, there's something different about that guy. Especially in this age, because there ain't nothing but selfishness on every side.
Right.
You can't give a person to give a dime to another guy and say, what am I getting out of this? Nothing. I ain't got nothing to give you. That's why I asked for a dime. I'm broke, man. Anyways, would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Brother Branham says, sure. That's what's going on right now, see? The bride of Christ, certainly. It is the message of the hour.
Amen.
Woo, glory. I believe the message of the hour, do you? Because you're the ministry of the hour then. It ain't the pastor, it ain't the preacher, it ain't this person. If I'm part of the bride, that means I'm part of the message. That means I am the ministry of this hour.
Amen.
Waiting on God, waiting on God. No, God waiting on you.
Amen.
That's right.
Exactly.
See what's going on. The bride of Christ certainly is, it's the message of the hour. See, the bride of Christ, sure. She consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Is that right? That's the bride of Christ, sure. She's got a ministry, a great ministry. Amen. It's the ministry of the hour. Amen. It'll be so humble. Ho, ho, ho. Here we go. Now, I hope you're here to receive the word and to give your heart into the service. That's right. Hallelujah. Now remember, how many was here when I first started last Sunday? See, remember what I preach on, humility. That's right. God is hidden and revealed in simplicity. That's what he preached. Oh, don't forget that. I'm going to take a moment or a minute to warn that again. Remember, when God predicts anything great to happen, the people are looking so far away by their wisdom till they miss what happens. When God says anything is great, the world laughs at it. That bunch of ignoramuses. That's right. But when the great world and the great high church said, boy, that's glorious, God says, a bunch of ignoramuses. See, so you have to watch. I don't mean it maybe exactly that way, but that's the way it is, and that's the truth. If you get a revelation of this hour, you should not expect to be popular. You should not expect the world to just grab you up and say, my, what a mighty Christian. Aren't you just the greatest guy in the world? That ain't never happened to any Christian that's followed the word of God. Do you understand that they killed Jesus under capital punishment? Do you understand that they wanted him dead more than the government did? That's right. The government was trying to give guy a little grace and say, well, I know he said this or that, but this is a pretty good fella. Why are you condemning him? I done inquired of him. He ain't got no heart against you guys. He's honest. Crucify him. Not just cut his head off. Not just kill him. Not just give him a little nice scourge and let him go. Crucify him. And we think crucifixion is not, you know, we carry crosses and we think, do you understand what that means? Do you know how you die on a crucifix? It ain't what you think it is. You ain't bleeding to death. That's why they put you up on there. Because actually they'll get you so far through you, your blood will end up clotting because it can heal there. So you're going to stay there for a while. And that's why they nail your feet on there, because they leave you a little bent. You ever notice that? I don't have one in here, but the knees are always bent. Why? That way you can push yourself up and then you can breathe. But any man, you only can squat so long, you know, you only can hold yourself up so long and then you get tired. And when you begin to relax, you begin to feel the chills of not being able to breathe again. And then what happens is you can't even help it. There's really no, your body will try to live. That's the point. It will not just lay and die. It will try to live and it'll push itself back up. And you're through this exhaustive process until literally you just pass out and eventually die. Suffocate to death. Why do you think they were so surprised that Jesus died so fast? Because Jesus, look, first off, he's losing so much blood, I believe he had to create blood to keep alive. No man takes my life, I lay it down. Amen. And the prophet took it to the point that it wasn't Calvary that killed him. Right. It wasn't the cross, it wasn't the beating. It said that he died of a broken heart. And we've proved it by science anymore that if you depress a person enough, their body will shut down. And Christ had continually given his life over and over and over again for these people. And they killed him anyways. When he said, I'll save you, they killed him anyways. I'll heal you, they killed him anyways. And don't you put it off 2,000 years ago, the prophet of God stood up and said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the word has come and you've crucified him again with creeds, with doctrines. And that's happened in this message too. Don't you worry about that. Brother Branham had to correct his own people. That's right. They said, you know, you make me Christ, you make me the Antichrist. That was people saying they believe the message, and it's happening again in our age. We've getting doctrines that are crucifying Christ to tell you that as long as you just sit there. Oh my, come on. Actually, you don't even need to sit there. As long as you sit at home and say, I'm a message believer, that's good enough. You'll be in. We're taking predestination to the point where we're making grace into disgrace, and then wonder why the world don't believe our testimony. Why the world think we're a bunch of crazy cult followers. Because you might be. If you're following this as a cult, where Brother Branham just says it, I just do it. Actually, I don't do it, but he's just right all the time, no matter what. I don't search it out. I don't care what the Bible has to say. You'll run off on these tangents. You'll have two souls by the time it's done. You'll be allowed to divorce, remarry 50 times if you like. Come on now, you won't have to worry about no TV in your house. As long as you got a tape playing once in a while, you'll make it in. That ain't what the prophet said. prophet himself said, if I'm wrong, don't come show me. He's a man that could stand up and said, I was wrong when I preached those seals the first time. Oh my, you might not like that, but that's what he said. Why? Because he's a man like you and I. That's right. God don't work through divine beings as we think. It's more humble than that. You'll miss him every time. He'll send angels and things like that, but how many people run off on tangents on those things? That ain't what God's true purpose is that you meet him individually. And he takes a man full of filth, full of mistakes, full of just doubt and gum and yuck. And does a process of his own divine hand to reach down into that muck and to take out something. And go take it to some water and get it washed up. And then throw some blood on there and sanctify it pure. And then energize it with the Holy Ghost. And then he uses that. That can't talk right. That stutters and spits all over his iPad because it makes him mad because he's got to wipe it off every service. Hallelujah. It's true. I ain't lying. I bet it's already covered. That's why I just leave it on so I can't see it. Hallelujah. But in this age, look, the word has been restored. We are in the ministry of the hour. It's been happening since the seals were opened. It was not Brother Branham's ministry. It was the ministry of the bride, which the prophet was obviously the spearhead of. That's absolutely right. Don't tell me you can go some other direction. We have to follow what God gave us. That's right. I believe this message with all my heart, but I believe what the messenger said about the message, that I am the message in this hour. Hallelujah. Not just down here diddly-daddling trying to get a little faith. Not just trying to get a little strength. I'm supposed to be walking in the exact steps of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, doing the same works, the same signs, the same wonders that He did.
Amen.
And anything short of that is death.
That's right.
Whoo, glory to God. I thought you told me you left your unbelief out there. Why you give me all these gloomy faces then? Because if you know in whom you believed, when you hear those things, it does not give you this unattainable goal. It is merely just a reflection of who I am.
Amen.
You say you ain't got patience, Brother Andrew. Yes, I do. I got the patience of Christ. My patience ain't no good. I don't want nothing to do with it. That's why Brother Branham in the Statue of a Perfect Man, when he preached this service over here, he said some people have some of these qualities naturally. There's people that have natural patience and things like that. But that ain't what he was getting at. I don't need natural patience. I need the patience of the Son of God. I need the temperance of the Son of God. I need not wisdom. I need Holy Ghost wisdom. That's right, which means I've got to die so that he might live. I think too many of us just too alive. That's your problem. It ain't nothing to do with God ain't talking to you, God ain't visiting you. You're just too alive for Christ to live. You got to die. And not just die in some little meager well. I'll just let him lay there for a little bit, but if he needs to get back up, I'll let him up. No, let him die and rot. He gets up, you stomp him on his face. You got power to bring him back up again. Unless the resurrection ain't true. If the resurrection's in me, I can raise the dead. Woo, glory, that's real good. When you get to your old man and wonder why he's fussing and stewing and getting all this stuff over you, maybe you giving him too much life. Maybe you feeding on too many devils. Woo, glory. I ain't talking salvation now. I'm here. Well, I am kind of. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, the devil's done got you. That's absolutely right. You can't fight him. That's right. How many tried to do it? I did. I tried fighting the devil without the Holy Ghost. He'll whip you every time.
That's right.
Just think. He'll even lead you on, make you think you're getting delivered, and then just show you ain't delivered in the first place. Why? Because he don't care about you. He hates you. That's absolutely right. I think we got to quit making deals with the devil and act like he loves us. No, he don't. When he's tempting you with that extra that extra car that's going to give you a payment that you can't do nothing anymore, and you got to work so much you can't even pray anymore, God help us to not make those kind of decisions.
Right.
Say, Lord Jesus, help me to just be content where I am. And Lord, nothing get between me and my prayer life.
Amen.
That's it. That's really where it comes down to. You ain't trying to build some static thing now. Where we just, okay, I dump some patience on, I dump some faith, and all the way up. No, you are literally becoming the person you love.
Amen.
Do you hear me now? We're trying to become a person, and that person is in me, molding me into that image. I'm getting ahead of myself. The bride, in this age and in every age, she's always continually growing into Christ. She never just settles. Are you hearing me now? And we can't even settle 50 years ago. And say, well, God restored the word. He did. God sent Malachi 4 and it was true. That's right. God fulfilled Luke 17:30. The Son of Man has shown himself. That's absolutely correct. But the wife, the bride, has made herself ready. The same one you put your confidence in, people just dumbfound me. They don't think it can happen to them. Do you know that they were putting their confidence in Moses?
Right.
In the Bible? In the Word of God, saying that this is why we know we're right? Yet the whole time the Word is standing right in front of their face and they're denying it.
Right.
In this age, when the prophet God brought the Word, they were standing on the Bible, those Pentecostals, Baptists, Presbyterians, come on now, one's fighting them tooth and nail. They were standing on the Word.
Sure.
They were standing on Jesus, that just the pure Word. Well, they thought so. Then you get to break down what they believe and say, that ain't nothing to do with this Word. Because you done made the Word a denomination, and that makes God stop moving, and anything that stops moving is dead. That's absolutely right. God help us to not become a church that's all dead with creeds and denominations and can't move no more. Don't know how to get our hands to get up anymore. Can't use our voice anymore. And all we can do is maybe cross them and give you a little crooked eye look and say, preacher, try to move me. I come in with such a bad attitude. There ain't nothing to this anyways. Well, there ain't going to be nothing for it for you. I'll tell you that much. Because you don't get to call the shots. God does. And if you don't come with the right attitude, He ain't going to meet you there. That's right. You don't twist God's arm around. He twists you any way He wants. Hallelujah. See, we got to get a revelation. Who am I talking about? This ain't just God off in the clouds. This is the God. You think of something powerful, He's all power. You think of something smart, He's all wisdom. You think of something loving, He's all love. He is the source of love. So don't tell me the way Jesus handled something ain't the way Jesus would have acted. When Jesus took those cords and saw those bunch of hypocrites in the house of God selling people salvations, God help us to not do the same thing. If you don't meet Jesus Christ, you ain't going to get salvation. I can't give it to you. I can't tell you to join church and pay tithes, and that's why you're going to get saved. I can't tell you consecrate this much, you'll get saved. No, you got to have faith that Christ died for you, and you accept it, and He confirms it with the Holy Ghost. That's where we fall short. We think we can confirm it ourselves. No, you can't. If the Holy Ghost don't come into your life and witness it and change your heart from a renegade sinner into a Christian, you ain't got any evidence yet. But Jesus saw those bunch of hypocrites in there selling away people's salvations, trying to get them to buy doves when they should have just been giving them away. And they should have, even if they were going to sell it, should have nothing to do with that temple. Should have been out there somewhere.
Right.
He built him a cord, three-leg cord. And he went in there whipping people out and kicking over tables. I think some of us Christians would have went back there and said, Jesus, let me show you how to be like Jesus. You're getting a little too excited. You're getting a little too ambitious. And we'll get on the man of God because he gets a little fire on his soul watching sin creep into the houses and wonder why he's screaming at me so much. Why can't he just let me miss church? Why can't he let me just know I don't really have a prayer life and just let me be settled down? Because it's not him anyways. It's Jesus seeing a bunch of hypocrisy,
Amen,
getting your life and whipping it out.
Amen.
And it's the love of God to you.
Amen.
Why'd he spit on me? That's the love of God to you. Glory to God. God give us faith to believe what the Word has said. It's the ministry of the hour. It's a fivefold ministry with a bride backing it up saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I believe it.
Amen.
Whew. The bride will always be growing into Christ. I believe until Jesus gets here, you still should be growing or you're dead. Or you're backsliding. Because we ain't just walking a trail, we're going up a current.
Amen.
And as long as you got the Holy Ghost giving you strength, keep pressing forward. Keep pressing forward. You'll keep advancing. I'll tell you right now, it's a surefire. You put that pad on the water, it will get you through.
Amen.
But the second you say, well, oh man, I try to pray and I just can't seem to do it, so I'm just going to quit. I have a hard time with my tithes, so I'm just going to quit paying. I have a hard time reading my Bible, so I'll just read this newspaper instead. And what you begin to do, you begin to take the war. And you go a little lighter for a while, and you look off in the distance and say, well, it don't look too much different. And you think, well, I'm all right, I guess. You know, no lightning struck me down yet. Well, I'll just kind of relax. I'm getting kind of tired anyways. Put the war up in your arm, and like I said, you look around, it ain't too much different. You give it a little bit of time. That current will begin to push you back. And before you know it, you look around and says, having the same troubles I did before I was converted?
Yes.
Ooh, glory!
Yes.
Huh. But the bride will work till Jesus comes. Another thing, eagle stirs up her nest, 1960. Another thing about an eagle is a special bird because he will never build his nest on the ground. He builds his nest way high. He likens that to his church. You are a city that sets on a hill, not in a valley. You're a city that sets on a hill that can be seen afar off. A lighted candle, it can be seen far out. The church setting high with high expectations, high ambitions. Those are two different words. I'll get to that in a minute here. I haven't got much hopes for a pastor's church that hasn't got ambitions to better themselves day by day and year by year. A church that's really a church of the living God will never stop and say, well, I just come in. I guess it's all right now. Never. They will never say that. You find yourself there. You got one place to be. That's on the cross of Calvary. Say, Lord, forgive me. That's right. I guess it's all right. That ain't the church of God. He's got ambitions to press on. Well, I've done my part. I brought one sinner in this year and he got saved. Brother, that's not the ambition of the church of God. If he brings one, he wants another, 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 another. There's no end to it. It just keeps on climbing up, see? We want to have ambition and expectations. God wants us to be that way. When you are bragging on the Lord, that's the way He wants you to be. When you see sickness and the Holy Spirit moves on you and says, that sickness don't have to stay there, and we'll let the devil creep in and say, you're just trying to show off. And then you say, well, I guess I'll just let it go. If it was God's will, they'd get healed. God's will already done been wrote. I am the Lord that healeth all thy infirmities. And that ain't just physical either. Don't let some devil tell you, I'm just going to have this attitude. What kind of ambition is that? It's the devil, shut up. He tries to get you all riled up, say you're going to lose it this time, boy. You don't have to listen to that. You got to have ambitions to press on and expectations that the Word is right.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 8. Turn there with me. Romans 8. Romans 8:28. Hallelujah. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There's a reason I read that verse first, because you got to understand that we can't do anything except that God gave us a promise to stand on. That's right. That's why when sin first crept in, God stepped on the scene and says, I understand. Sin has crept in. I understand you're feeling death starting to set in, but I'm here to tell you, the seed of the woman crushed the head of the serpent.
Amen.
He gave them a promise that even though we've messed it up, even though we're going to reap for this, there's a promise that God's going to get us out.
Yes, sir.
Now we are sitting at the time where we've seen this scripture completely fulfilled for the whole bride of Christ. We've watched the church go from on fire with her God, signs and wonders on every side. And I'm going to keep reading here in Romans 8, so don't get in a hurry just yet. But signs and wonders falling. We watched the Catholic Church sneak in. And then we watched other denominations sneak in and began to pull the Word away until you couldn't see nothing that used to be there. But all things work together for good to them that love God. And there was always a group of people, they were laying down their lives, being killed on every side, but they loved God and they didn't hold dear to their life knowing they had a better resurrection coming.
Amen.
They held to the promise of God. And God has begun to bring the church back up until He has sent Elijah the prophet, like He promised. Don't you go off on some other tangent. That's the only way we ever got restored was by the Word of God. Don't give me a restoration outside of the Word of God. It don't work. That's what God sent to restore us. I pray you listen to it. I pray you read it. I pray you believe it. Hallelujah. Or you ain't going to be restored. I'll just say that, thus saith the Lord. If you reject this word, you won't be on no ark. That's right. Just like Noah could say, thus saith the Lord, you're either in the ark or you're dead. I'm saying the same now. You're either in the word of the hour or you will die. Glory to God. But all things worked together for good. It looked like the church was going to die, and then God sent Luther and restored justification by faith. He sent Wesley and gave us sanctification so we could live holy before the Lord and have the joy of the Lord. That's the main thing. Because the Lutherans, no matter what they tried, they still were condemned when they did wrong.
Amen.
But God restored sanctification so we didn't have to live that way. And we couldn't get no power from God. We began to doubt God, and God sent the gifts back to show you that we don't have to put up with no devils. We've got 9 spiritual gifts to be able to wipe the devil out anytime we need to.
Right.
That's right. And then it came down to figuring out, well, why am I any of this in the first place? And God sent a voice that says, you're a son of God now, because you always were.
Right.
Amen. What does that begin to do? It begins to charge faith. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
Woo! And we come to this verse here. All things work together for good to them that love God. Them who are the called. It's God's calling. That's right. According to His purpose. Now keep reading here. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now most people leave a few words out of that. They usually read it this way. Whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be in the image of His Son. They leave out that God said, you are not going to come in the image, but you will be conformed into the image. What does it mean to conform something? It means it came looking like this. All wadded up and messed up. But it took somebody that was going to take and know how to pull this out. That little greed out of your heart. That little envy. That little lust. And everything else. Now look, I'm natural hands. I can never get this back. But the Holy Spirit knows how to take this and make it back like this, like it was. That's right. Don't you give me that baloney thing. Well, man can do that. It's never going to happen. I ain't talking about a man. I'm talking about a God.
Amen.
I'm talking about a God who made that thing in the first place.
Right.
He knows how to put it back.
Amen.
We need to quit trying to get saved and realize we were saved.
Amen.
We need to quit trying to make this promise happen and realize He said it. That I will be conformed. And what should that ought to do is give me faith for day by day. It ought to give me expectations for day by day. Ambitions for day by day.
Amen.
That if I am sitting on this promise, you can't have Romans 8:28 without having Romans 8:29. It's only one verse away, and God helped you out there, put it real close for you. So you have to go find it. That yes, you're predestined. Yes, you're foreknown. And God is called you. But what did He call you for? Come on now. To be conformed into the image of His Son. Let me keep reading there. For whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, then He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. When God came and met you, I pray, if He hasn't, I pray He's doing it now. When God came and meets you at that point where you're about to break, and you'll never meet any point short of that. Don't give me this dry-eyed confession. I gave my heart to the Lord there, and you know, it just kind of happened. You ain't going to run that through no Bible promise. I'll tell you that right now. When you find souls, it was something that something began to stir on their heart. It says, what shall we do to be saved?
Amen.
Now it's a course. Look, Peter just looked out and says, they got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I don't think they were, oh, I'm saved. No, they got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Something began to stir. It said, woo, I've been changed. Oh, all that down, it's gone. It's gone. And they began to speak in other tongues and give God the glory. And we have to force ourselves to get, it's got to make my mouth say praise. You know, it's crackling because it's been sitting still so long.
Amen.
If you don't use it, lose it. And I think that's where we've gotten now. I understand people going off on tangents. If everybody ain't saying hallelujah, God ain't moving. I don't believe that. But I do know that if you have cancer and God comes on the scenes and heals you, you ought to have a reaction.
Amen.
And if you're a sinner, trapped in sin and trespasses, and the Holy Ghost waves over you and comes in, and you can just feel it all leave. And He gives you peace. You ought to have a reaction. And it shouldn't be because some preacher's yelling at me. It should be because God delivered my soul. And I'm not going to be one of those lepers who couldn't at least turn around and say thanks. I'm here to look. He went up on top of the hill to where Jesus could still see him. He said, thank you, Lord. Well, I'm Pentecostal. Or are you? You better. I don't know yet. It should show on the outside.
Amen.
That's absolutely right. Brother Branham said it this way. I could talk to a man for 2 minutes and tell you whether he's got the Holy Ghost or not.
Right. Oh, did he say that?
Yes, he did. And if you got the Holy Ghost, how do you know? Because the Spirit in you will agree with the Spirit in that other person and it'll gel together. Not we both like football. Not we both like fishing. We both like knitting. No, I ain't talking about that. It goes beyond that. One of my best buddies is, you might know him, I don't know, he goes to Brother Craig Boers, Jonathan Baumgartner. And I'll tell you what, as far as naturally speaking, I don't know if we got one trait in common. What do you think, Brother Ken? Anything? Nothing. He's just quiet and passive, and I tend to get a little loud. I don't know. But there's one thing. When I still remember this to the day, and I'm so happy I got to be there. One day, the Holy Spirit moved on him, and he came forward for prayer, and he got down on the altar. And it was actually me and my brother got down and prayed with him, and he received the Holy Ghost right there in service. And ever since, we've just been chum. Why? Because we're the same Spirit. It transverses all that stuff. We have a relationship that goes back to eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Whew. That's the way the whole bride of Christ ought to be. But we get too fixated on personality. On little likes of the world and how we do this and that. And I'd go out to eat there, but I don't really like that. Who cares? You're supposed to be loving each other. Go eat some crackers or something. That's right. Just forget. This world's going to perish. Do you understand that? If this world wasn't in God's grace, it wouldn't be here right now. That's absolutely right. I wonder how many drunken commanders right there with a nuclear bomb in their power. God ain't let them die so we didn't all die as well. That's right. Little tangent there, but let's just come back. 2 Corinthians. I got a few scriptures. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians, and then I'm going to go over to Ephesians. You love the Word. And man, it's the only thing that's going to help you.
Amen.
That's right. There ain't nothing else going to do anything for you. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians 3:17. I think you got that right. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord is there, and we'll say, amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm free today. All right, read the next verse now. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. Are we doing that today? Are we looking not at a piece of glass like what we think the glass means? Glass don't mean glass in the Bible like we would say glass. Glass means a mirror. It means a mirror. So are you believing, now listen, that you're seeing the glory of the Lord in a mirror?
Come on.
And if I'm seeing it in a mirror, where am I seeing it at? All right. So now, let's read this the right way. Now the Spirit of the Lord is that Spirit. That's the first thing right there. Not a different Spirit, not a different Lord. The Lord is that Spirit. The Holy Ghost I received is God. That's right. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, see, they were trying to put it off, well, the Spirit of the Lord is over there, and maybe He'll come by and give us liberty. That's not what He's saying. But we all, with open face, means open your eyes and look good. Open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is why I'm with people, especially with stature of a perfect man, thinking that Brother Bram's trying to say we got to build up ourselves in this great character and that God thinks we're good enough and then He'll come give us the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you it don't work that way. Brother Bram never taught it that way. Go show me one altar call he presented that fashion. Show me where he said that the Samaritans, when they came down to get the Holy Ghost, he said they got the token.
Amen.
Just the Holy Ghost. No, the token. What we're looking to get sealed to be ready for the rapture. He said they got it in a one service. That's right. But the Christian now, by the Spirit of the Lord, so you've got to receive the Spirit of the Lord, then you've got to recognize where you're supposed to be looking at it. When you read the Bible, it's got to become a mirror that this promise is in me and I'm merely fulfilling what God foresaw. Do you understand? It's not me. It's not written and then I came to be. It came to be because I was there and God had to write it down so I'd see it. Man, God knew it would happen, so he wrote it down, and I am the fulfilling of that word. And now I got to take this promise and put it in my life that God knew in 2015 I'd be looking at the same glass Paul was, and I would be believing the same gospel he was. We're resting on that. And I would see the glory of the Lord in the word as a mirror because it's in me, and I am being changed from glory to glory into the exact same image. That's what the statue of her man's all about. It's about becoming a person, not becoming things. You're not becoming patience and temperance and virtue. It's not a substance like we think it is. It's God. That's what it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, because that's how God created the world, because that's what he was. You say, where's your faith come from? The seed of God. What's the seed of God? It is God. People think going off on tangents, but it's the Word of God nonetheless. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5. Enjoying the Word today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 5. 24. So just to backdrop that second, don't forget, though, it's God's promise. That's what we base this off of. God's promise that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yes. There is. Not there might be. Not that if I doubt it, it's not there. It's still there. Yes. That's right. Do you know, let me say it like I'm giving away my next sermon probably. But anyways, that when God came to Abraham, it was not an unconditional promise. Listen now. It was an unconditional covenant.
Right.
What's the difference? Unconditional promise would just be God's just going to do it. Unconditional covenant is once Abraham agreed to it and put his name on it, there was no more to be done. It's a covenant. You have to agree to it. Just like a contract. You could have a contract that says you're going to inherit $50 million. I'm going to give you this, that, and the other thing. But if you refuse, for whatever reason, to sign the document, you'll never get it. And that's honestly the entire world. That's the condition we're in. The covenant was not just given to the bride. Do you understand that? He died for the sins of the whole world. But he knew who would receive it. And that who is who he elected, that's who he called, that's who he predestinated. And then we'll receive it, and then we'll let the devil talk us out of it. Look, if something in you received the word, you need to recognize why you could. Because you're not just anybody, you're Abraham's seed, which is Christ. Glory to God. It's a covenant. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Well, I just can't seem to yield to the Holy Ghost. I thought you said you got the Holy Ghost. That means you're part of the church, and the Bible says you are subject to Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's right. You got to believe the Word. When are we going to stop trying to make it happen and realize that God put us on this foundation for a reason, because nothing else will build?
Amen.
You've got to believe. You've got to apply and believe the Word of God, or you won't get to first base.
Amen.
Well, bless God, I'm going to do this, and then I'll quit smoking. I'll do this, and I'll quit drinking. I'll do this, I'll quit lying. I'll quit lusting. You ain't going to quit nothing.
Amen.
Somebody already done quit it, because they never started doing it. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's in me. That's right.
Amen.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Why did I read this on Mother's Day? Hallelujah. Husbands. Praise the Lord. Take it home, sis. There you go. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Let me get down. Where's the verse I wanted? Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Right.
Hallelujah. Let me read you a quote now. Christ's mystery, God revealed. 63. But the Eve in the last day is not going to do it, because she's predestinated not to do it. Yes, sir, God's going to do it. He knows. He'll have it. He said it. The church would be there without spot or wrinkle. She is going to stand there in the splendor of Him, His Word made manifest. She'll be a token to the world. She'll be something to the world that the world can look and say, well, the rest of the world say, ah, she's a holy worlder. She's the second cousin. She don't belong to our group. I know, that's a good thing, see? She belongs to this group up here. A man said the other day to me, standing and talking, he said, well, what denomination you belong to? I said, none. What? None. I said, I belong to a kingdom. Well, how do you join that? You don't join it. You're born in it. What kingdom is that? I said, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. By one Spirit, we are baptized into this body, born of His Spirit. Then we belong to a kingdom. And our lives are not Americans. We're not Germans. We're not nothing. We are Christians. We are settled and walk in the Spirit, a love slave from the things of the world, in our rights to the world. We've sold out and bought this pearl of great price and walk in letting the Holy Spirit manifest itself. That's what His church, His real church is. That's what you are, what I am, if we'll let ourselves go and serve God. Amen. And by His word and not by some creed, what some creed says. So we're sitting here, we're looking at the Word of God. I remember what we're talking about, the bride will work till Jesus comes. God says what the standard is. We ain't here to change it. That ain't love either. But the standard is there will be a church without spot or wrinkle. And God will take this church that He's put the Holy Ghost in and mold it into the image of the Son of God. And He will take the church and present it to Himself. Right. He didn't ask any of those preachers to do that. He didn't ask even the prophet to do that. He said, even the Son, remember when He was on earth, He said, even the Son doesn't know the day that the Father has in His time. That's right. But only the Father, only, not even the angels. Hallelujah. Why? Because of this Scripture. God will take the church and present it to Himself. Amen. How? A glorious church. Amen. Without spot or wrinkle. A church that isn't serving Him because they have to, but because they're so in love they can't help it. Oh, come on now. Are you in love yet? See, that's really, I watch people struggle with sin and things like this, and you break it down, I'm going to tell you what's wrong. You ain't loving the Lord. Amen. That's all it is. You ain't loving your brother like you ought to love the Lord, and we ought to love one another. You see, the problems in the family. Husband ain't loving a wife. Wife ain't loving the husband. There you go. Right. You can't break the parents aren't loving the children. Children don't love the parents. You break it all down. You can fulfill all the law. Well, I need to get rid of this. I need to do this so I can do that. No, there's one thing fulfills the law. Love. Amen. Fall in love with the Lord and you will not do evil. Amen. That is absolutely right. But how quickly Laodicea will creep into our lives and convince our minds that Jesus ain't watching. Because you'll think something if you see the pastor across the room. I ain't going to do that. You know, there's a man of God there. Well, what do you do when you're the pastor, right? Anyways, no, you got to recognize it ain't the man of God anyways that's making me feel that way. That's why many sinners never give their heart to the Lord, because instead of realizing that it's not the man making me feel bad, it's that I know Jesus Christ is in the room now. Amen. And He's looking at me with bloody hands, with scars face, and telling me, why can't you love me? When because of this is the only reason you're even alive right now. Thank the Lord. Aren't you happy to be a Christian today? I'm not ashamed of Him. Look, it proves you can't be ashamed and serve the Lord, because you got to run up there and love Him. And nobody shows love just, well, love you, Jesus. See you later. Okay, if you love, sorry, Dad, I probably should hug Dagger. But right here, I love you, man. And He's covered in blood. And if I'm going to give Him a big old hug, that means I'm going to get all covered up. I don't have a choice. I can't be ashamed because I'm identified. And if you're a Christian, there's nothing I want to be identified more with than the blood of Jesus Christ. God, pour it all over me. Make me look less like you, Jesus. How do I get the blood on me? The Holy Ghost is the blood in the church. That's right. It's the life that was in the blood that spilled. Oh, the chemistry, when it resurrected, it all went back into that one body. But He sent back the Holy Ghost. The life that was energizing that natural blood to live, He sent it back into us as tongues of fire, just as the day of Pentecost. And it produces the same God. Right. Tell me when Jesus quit serving God. Now, it might be a little confusing to you, but the man Jesus served God all His days, all the way to the cross. He was continuing, even to when Peter, he knew he was going to die. We think we'd be a little preoccupied with that. If you had a vision that you were going to die soon, come on now. And you knew they were not just going to die, you were going to be tortured. And then one of your servants pulls out a knife, come on, and cuts off the high priest's ear. You think you'd still be a little preoccupied in your mind that these guys are taking me to go kill me. But not Jesus. He saw that man, he had compassion. He picked that ear up and he put it back on. He served God till his last breath. He got on the cross. Look, he could have looked at him. He's about to die. And it's all these people out here that's doing it. And they're making fun of him. They're spitting and everything else. What'd he say? He worked till it was his time. He said, Father, forgive them. That's the only reason they ever had a chance in the first place. When they were stoning Stephen, do you know what Stephen said? He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You think I've been a little preoccupied with getting stoned to death, but not a Christian can work till Jesus comes. And I'm not even necessarily talking the resurrection. You might be dead tomorrow. You might not make it out of this room. How many knows that? I don't care if you're 5 or 100. You could die right now. There is nothing secure in this life. Nothing. You know, I've got some things that's happened. I might get a new house here through the insurance with the house fire and things. But you think, well, if I pay enough, eventually I'll have a house I don't need to keep up on. There ain't no such thing. There is no such thing as maintenance free in this life. But I'm glad. I'm marching to Zion. A place where they've got gold. They probably don't even need no mortar. They're just laying there. They've just been cut so perfect, they ain't going to move. That's right. There's no tornado going to get through there and rip it up, and I got to put it down again. I got a nice little house somewhere. I don't know, but I'm glad I got a body to live in where I can enjoy the presence of the Lord forever.
Amen.
All right. Well, you say, well, Brother Andrew, man, you're sure making this look hard. I mean, I thought I'd just get saved and the Lord would take care of it. He will. But you might not like how He does it. He does it through you. The foolishness of God is greater than man's wisdom. God chose to take a fallen man and redeem him.
Amen.
We are not allowed to tell him to do a different process. If you'd only realize that every single Christian, even those that you look up to and say, I'll never be as spiritual as that guy was a sinner at one point.
Amen.
I don't care if you sat in a message church. You were a sinner. My children will be taught that they are sinners till they get the Holy Ghost. That's absolutely right. How I appreciate little Justin back there getting his hands and crying before the Lord. I'm glad we got people that don't say, well, you're in the message. It's okay. No, get right with God, little buddy. If you got enough sense to realize you've done wrong, yeah, get right with God. Hallelujah. Isn't that we think, well, praise God for that. That's the most glorious thing I could ever expect out of a child. What more do you want to see in this life than a little heart that's still sensitive and gives themselves to the Lord? God help us to not feel the rebuke on our lives because we're 50, 40, 30, 20, and we can't do that no more. You proudful, I can't think of a good word for it, but you stuck up. That's right. Christian ain't supposed to be stuck up. A Christian's dependent on the grace of God.
Amen.
Not today, not tomorrow, now. Amen. All the time. Nonstop. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. So you say, Brother Andrew, how in the world am I going to do this? How am I going to work till Jesus comes? I'm here to tell you, if you got that kind of attitude, you ain't got the right kind of revelation yet. I'm going to give you one quote. I read this not too long ago, but me and Ellie were painting for a while the other day, and this was one of the things I caught. I was like, hey, I just listened to that. So I want to read it again. What was the Holy Ghost given for? 1959. You got a little time yet? You still listening? I didn't say hearing me. You have to hear me. Are you still listening? Amen. Now, I don't mean to hurt you. I love you too much. But brother, sister, do you realize that I know that I've got to stand the last days of the resurrection with this generation of people and give account for this word? And the Holy Spirit showing this and me preaching out yonder, where are you going to stand? How are you going to get by with it? You can't do it, friend. Now stop that. Whatever you're doing that's wrong, stop it. You say, oh, brother, that's just too easy. Don't I need to fast and pray and then something will happen and I'll know that I'm delivered and all? No, stop it. Just stop it. How can I just stop? Can I read the rest of the quote now? Whatever you're doing wrong, stop it. You say, I can't. Then you haven't got the canter in you yet. When the Holy Spirit comes, He gives you power over the world.
Amen.
Listen to what He said. If you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God isn't in you. That's why Jesus said you can't serve God in mammon. You can't serve God in the love of the world or the things of the world or the money of the world. You can't do it because in order to get power over the things of the world, you've got to have the love of God. Nothing else can do it. That's what John was saying. If you love the things of the world, I'm not here to rebuke you necessarily. I'm here to tell you there's no love of God in you yet. That's why you're still bound by that thing. But if you'll fall in love, if you how, brother? You got to give it all. I can't give half my commitment to my wife and love her. I either give it all or I might as well not give any of it. Because the more I give without giving it all, the worse it is. Well, I pray that hit home like it did me. The more you give to God and yet leave a little back, the worse it gets all the time. I'd rather know that somebody didn't love me than think they did and realize they don't. That's right. When the Holy Spirit comes, He gives you power over the world. He said, if you love the things of the world, it's because the love of God isn't in you. Now, there's no excuses. That's it. There's no excuses. He makes it plain. And we've got to come to that mark. I know you think I'm awful, but I'm just awfully full right now. See, listen. This is true. Now, come up to it, brother, sister. Don't let some intellectual colleges around here tell you, oh, that's old fogey stuff. If it's old fogey stuff, then God's old fogey. And if God's old fogey, then I am too. Amen. I want to be like Him. Why? His Spirit is in me that hungers and thirsts, calling everything contrary to word. If people say it's all right for a man to play a little cards for fun and just gamble a nickel or two, that it's all right. God says it's not. Oh, if you take a good sociable drink, just get on a little drunk once in a while. But God said, woe unto him. Oh, you say it's all right, Brother Branham, I cut my hair because of a real thing, like Locks for Love or something. Come on now, listen. I cut my hair because of a real thing. A woman, you know, the rest of the women are doing it. I don't care what the rest of the women are doing. They're not your example or they're not your boss. If you've got the Holy Ghost in you, you'll follow His instructions regardless of what people say about you. Sure. Well, Brother Branham, it's just so hot. And I just have to put these little so-and-so clothes on. Right. Hell's hotter than that, sister dear. Let me tell you that. You remember that. And the Holy Spirit will always lead you to truth. And His truth is the Word. My Word is the truth. Let every man's word be a lie, but let mine be the truth. You say, I can't do it. I can't do this. I can't do it. That's the point. You can't do that. That's why God gave us His Spirit. That's why God gave us the Holy Ghost, because He can. And He did. And He will. And He'll always win. You know, there's one gear, if you're going to type out a card, don't believe it. There's one gear you don't need. You know what it is? Reverse. We ain't got no time for reverse. Maybe God will have us slow down once in a while in life and take a little time, but there's one thing you ain't going to do. You ain't going to go back.
That's right.
You're always pressing forward. The bride will always work until Jesus comes.
Amen.
Token 63. Now the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token, not the blood. The blood was shed at Calvary. That is true. But the blood, as far as it was, went back into the elements from which it come, from the food that He lived on. See? But you see, inside that blood cell was a life that started the blood cell to moving. The chemistry had no life in it itself, and therefore it could not move. But when the life come into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell. It formed its own cell. Then cell after cell, then it became a man. And the man, that man was God Emmanuel in flesh. But when that life returned back, the chemistry to it, but the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church, that they see Christ. See, that's one thing that's going to be different. You could hear the Word, hear the Word, hear the Word, but the bride has eyes to see Jesus in the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It has to be, please listen now, because a woman and her husband becomes one. They become one. And so does the bride and Christ become one. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. And remember, these former treaties, O Theophilus, have I wrote unto you that Jesus began to do and continues to do. His death didn't stop Him. No, sir. He returned again, not a third person, but the same person returned again in the form of the Holy Ghost and continued to work on and continues on, said the book of Acts. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the token. That's the sign. Saying, God, if I could just see God, if God would just do that. If you've received the Holy Ghost, that's the sign of God to you, that God is in you, that God fellowships with you, that God is taking you and molding you into His very image from glory to glory to glory as the Spirit of God moves. Hallelujah. I've got one more scripture. I'm going to close on this. 1 John 3. First John 3:20. Praise his name today. He's worthy of praise. 1 John 3:20. Excuse me. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. And we just stop there. No, here's why. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Oh my, you're trying to bring all this law into the New Testament. Wait, what did I read that from? Was that? I didn't think that was 1 Chronicles or anything. I'm pretty sure that's 1 John. I'm pretty sure that's the apostle of love. I believe that's where we get that God is love, and he that loves God loves his brother and all these things. Yet the same man says, look, this is how we receive whatever we ask of God. Because we keep His commandments. Why are we keeping His commandments? Because we've got confidence towards God. Why do we have confidence towards God? It's because we got faith and no unbelief. Because we repented of our sins. We've gotten right with God. It gives us confidence knowing that the blood has washed me and the Holy Ghost is what's leading me. So why would I be afraid to press forward? And when the Holy Ghost moves on me, ask for something. And the other brothers don't know what I'm talking about. It ain't for him. Does your heart condemn you? If your heart's condemning you, I'm here to tell you, time to back up and get right with God. That's what it is. That's the only thing to do. But not just sit back there for 50 years and try to get right with God. Get right with God right now.
Amen.
That's right. If we would just repent with all our heart, we'd get full deliverance. Right. Instead, we repent with half our heart and hold it down in our heart a little bit, and then we go back to doing it a week later. God help us to realize that that's the problem, not God's promise. God promised it. It's us that gets in the way. And then we go to pray, and we wonder why we can't get through. You know that thing's in there. You know that little thing, you go to approach that holy God and you can feel that little bit of blackness. That little lie you said. Come on now.
Right.
And it's not about necessarily being legalistic and getting it right that way. It's not in the blood yet.
Right.
You're trying to justify that thing.
Sure.
Man, it got quiet fast.
Right.
But here's the thing to do. Quit justifying it and put it in the blood.
Amen.
That's it. Confession is good for the soul, not justifying yourself. There's one that justifies, that's God. And God chose one way to do that. That's by the blood.
Amen.
Glory to God. And once you get a soul, I don't care if he's a preacher, a woman, backslid, get him in the blood. Get the Holy Ghost in there. He'll have confidence.
Amen.
Because he's not looking at himself outside the Word. He's looking at himself in the mirror that God told him to. And he's seeing himself being changed from glory to glory into the same image. And it begins to give confidence. What confidence? That the ministry of the bride is the same as the ministry of the bridegroom. Is the ministry of Christ is the same as the ministry of the bride. So when Jesus saw devils possessed of a man possessed of devils, not one, not two, legions. He didn't back away. I've seen people scared to death of devils. Oh my God. Somebody gets shaken and frothed a little bit. They're the first ones out the door. Where's your faith? There's been people look at me like I'm stupid. Well, I might be stupid, but I got the mind of Christ. I don't got no mind of my own anymore. That's all right. Let my mind be stupid. Let me just trust the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ looks the devil in the face and realizes that you are his commander. That's absolutely right. Even where Joshua, he saw the captain of the Lord's host, he wasn't afraid of him. He pulled out the sword, but he didn't know who he was. But he wasn't afraid of no enemy. Why? Because he knew what commission he was under. Wipe them all out. So he saw a man with a sword and says, who are you, for us or against us? But then revelation struck. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. He threw that sword down. He took off his shoes and got down and worshiped. Glory to God. You say, well, I'm only called to do this or that. There's one thing every Christian's called to do. That's worship.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, I'm quiet in nature. That's fine, but you still can raise your hands and give God the praise. Hallelujah. We want confidence towards God. How do we get confidence towards God? Because we're in the blood. The Holy Spirit comes into us. It makes us a law unto ourselves, which makes us walk in His commandments.
Yeah.
Then when we ask things, we know we're not asking amiss. Because the Holy Spirit's leading our decisions.
Sure.
So when the Holy Spirit's leading our decisions, we have complete confidence in what we're asking because we know that we're only asking what the Holy Spirit put on us.
Right.
And if the Holy Spirit put something on me to ask, that's because He's already working on the other end to fulfill it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. We got to sing it. D flat, I know that much. Let me find it real quick. Just sing the chorus here for a minute. You don't know it's in a spiral 213, but we'll wait until Jesus comes. I just want to take a little bit of worship. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to sing the chorus. It's really pretty simple.
Will work till Jesus comes. Will work till Jesus comes. Will work till Jesus comes, and then be gathered home. Will work till Jesus comes. Comes and then we gather home.
Sing, we'll pray.
We'll pray till Jesus comes. We'll pray till Jesus comes. We'll pray till Jesus comes and then we gather.
We'll love.
Till Jesus comes, we'll love. Till Jesus comes, we'll love. Till Jesus comes, and then we gather.
We'll work now, committed now to God.
We'll work with all your heart. Jesus comes.
Closed, no looking around, please. Change the order of the service. Feel the Holy Spirit here confirming the word that was preached. If God don't confirm it, it ain't true. But I believe He's here now, and He'll do whatever you ask if you'll get right first. Commit your heart. Is there a soul here that would say, I don't have confidence towards God? I know that there's black things, there's wicked things in my life, and I've let them stay. I've made excuses. I've made justifications why I have to do this or that or the other thing. Instead of just being honest and putting it in the blood. And say, Lord, I'm sorry. Is there anyone who say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for those things. And I ask you to forgive me today. God bless you, brothers, sisters. Hands all over this place. Thank you, Lord God. Now don't pick up a big bag of doubt. You rest in faith now. And you said, Lord, if I would seek you with my whole heart, I would be found in you. I find you, Lord. When I turn to the temple. What's the temple in this day? The Holy Ghost in you. I turn to the temple of God. And I say, Lord, it's time to take out these idols. It's time by the Spirit of God in me to be changed from glory to glory. And if you ain't to first base yet, you ain't been saved, would you say, Lord, that's me? And raise your hand and say, Father, I need something. I need something real to happen in my soul because I still love the things of the world. I don't have the love of God in my heart yet. But I don't know how to get it. I'm here to tell you it's right there. If you'll just be honest and sincere before God, when you raise your hands, if you'll do it as a declaration against sin, God will meet you at that point. I don't even need to call you forward. I don't need to lay hands on you. While I speak the word, the Holy Ghost falls on you. That's absolutely a scriptural promise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, don't be a bad leper. Be a good one. They came back and said, Lord, I praise you for it. I thank you for forgiveness. Lord, I thank you for coming into me. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you for power against the enemy. There's too much doubt right now. You got to get past that. You got to get past that. Oh, you're always going to be this way. Ain't nothing going to happen. This is always going to come back. It's come back for 20 years. So you've got to dismiss those things and recognize that as the devil. Not as a bad thought. As the devil himself standing. You tell me he ain't around. He was there when the sons of God came before the throne. Devil is packing around there talking to God. You don't think he can come around here and talk to you? He will. He'll tell you to repent tomorrow. He'll tell you to get saved tomorrow. He'll say it's all right. One day you'll get right with God and then you'll be okay. No, today's the day of salvation. You never get saved any day but today. If God's moving on your heart, I'm here to tell you. That's why we raise our hands. It's not just some religious thing. What do you do if a cop comes up to you and you put your hands up? What is it? It's surrender. And we raise our hands not to surrender against the enemy, but to be a love surrender to Jesus Christ and look Him in the face and say, Lord, I surrender all my will, all my ways. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm interested in your way. The Holy Spirit's here. I'm telling you right now. If you're looking for a sign, it's in the room now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You feel that pulling begin to move. Now, don't do that to me. You're making me confirm it. No, He's already confirmed it. He's here right now. You all know what I'm talking about. That's right here in the room. Just like Prophet God said the same thing. He said, you want it? Fine. I'll discern this, this, and this one. There you go. But I think we ought to be past that point. We ought to be believers. That the word's right no matter if I feel it, no matter if anything happens around here. It's right nonetheless, and I'm standing here until I know that this thing is gone. I'm free, and I can raise my hands without condemnation. I can clap knowing that when the sons of God were shouting for joy, that was me over there. I was one of those. I'm not down here as a sinner. I'm a son of God, and I'm here in Laodicea, and I'm worshiping my God. Devil, say all you want to. You stay around here all you want to. You're not going to fit in because we're going to be worshiping. Hallelujah. That's it, Christians. Go ahead. That's it. That's deliverance in the house of God. Woo. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just you and Him right now. There ain't no room for three, really. It's Jesus Christ and you. Is He dealing with your heart? Be soft to Him. Oh, we live in a world so cold and dark right now. You can't hardly find see people dying by the thousands and abortion and things, and they'll tell you exactly what's happening. And most of the masses don't even care. They just go back to their own little worlds. Oh my, what a world we live in where the love of God is so cold anymore in this life. Don't you approach Jesus that way. You approach Him with sincerity. You approach Him with everything that's in you. Say, Lord, I just love You. I commit myself to You. Say, I don't know how to pray. It ain't a religious action. That's your problem. It ain't knowing how to pray. It's just doing it. Just talk to Him. Tell Him what you want to say. If He was standing right here with this suit I have on, what would you say to Him? Would you say, Jesus, deliver me? He couldn't. Do you know that? He already did it. Say, Jesus, come by and heal me. I can't. Already did. Jesus, come by and give me peace. What are you talking about? I am peace. And I'm in the room right now. What else do you need? Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you right now, you might not think anything's happening, but the faith of God is rising. I'm watching strongholds come down all around this place. That's all it is. Satan being exposed. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Just feel free to worship for a little while. Praise His holy name. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Lord. He, Jesus, no, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows about our struggles, and He will die till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus, no, not one. No, listen to this verse. I'll stay in worship. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls. Jesus. No, not one. Oh, no. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Jesus knows all about our struggle, and He will guide till the day is done. Thank You, Lord. But there's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. No. Listen to this now with all your heart. No friend like Him is so high and holy.
today. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Aren't you happy? He will guide till the, he promised it, is done. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one.
Bible says, as we see that day approaching, to look up, for our redemption draws nigh. Yet too many times I see Christians can't even get enough faith in their heart to look up to Calvary. We're always groveling down in sin and trespass. If you know you've got the Holy Ghost, I want you to do something. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to look up to heaven. I want you to raise your hands and say, just repeat after me, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I love you with all my heart.
I love you with all my heart.
From this day forward.
This day forward.
I'll serve you with everything I am.
I'll serve you with everything that I am.
I am sorry.
I am sorry.
For what I've done.
For what I've done.
But I rest.
I rest.
In your promise.
In your promise.
That I will.
I will.
And shall.
And shall.
And am.
And am.
Like you.
Like you.
And I will spend.
And I will spend
all
eternity
worshiping
you
in New Jerusalem,
in New Jerusalem,
according to your word.
According to your word.
Amen.
Amen.
Can you shout and give some praise to God? Hallelujah! Glory! 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 Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. sorry, Dad, I got something too. Keep looking up. Let's sing this one. You got E flat there? The windows of heaven open. The blessing is calling to mind. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. For Jesus makes everything right. Oh, I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. Just a chorus. It's not in our book. The Lord gave it to me a little while ago here. It's by faith that I believe, that I believe. It's by faith that I receive, that I receive. It's by faith I overcome. It's by faith I'll overcome. By faith, I'll see the sun. I'll see the sun. It's by faith that I believe. That I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun.